moments here. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to new life, because you trusted in the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. You were dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. But then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all sins. He canceled the record of the charges against us, and he took it away by nailing it to the cross. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. This is the word of God for the people of God. Well, Mary Magdalene, as we know, was the first to experience the resurrection outside the empty tomb as the now risen Christ stood before her. Were her tear-soaked eyes playing tricks on her? Could it be? Was maybe this the first April Fool's? Possibly. Teacher, she calls him. Yet we know that he was so much more to her, the one who saved her, the one who made her feel alive. Truly, it was an Easter morning that she would not ever forget, seeing Jesus, once dead, now fully alive. In 1991, at the height of Desert Storm, Ruth Dillo received a very sad message from the Pentagon. It stated that her son, Clayton Carpenter, private first class, had stepped onto a mine in Kuwait and was dead. She later wrote, "I can't begin to describe the grief and shock. It was almost more than I can bear. For 3 days I wept. I expressed anger and loss. For 3 days people tried to comfort me to no avail because the loss was too great." But 3 days after she received the message, the telephone rang. And the voice on the other end said, "Mom, it's me. I'm alive." Ruth said, "I couldn't believe it at first, but then I recognized his voice. He was really alive." She said, "I laughed, I cried. I felt like turning cartwheels because my son, whom I had thought was dead, was really alive." She says, "I'm sure none of you can even begin to understand how I felt." We too can only imagine the glorious homecoming that reunion was with mother and son when they were reunited. For Ruth, her son being fully alive became an Easter story she would never forget. You see, there's something about Easter that makes us feel more alive as spring ushers in signs of new life. Now, bear with me a minute. I know it's not cooperating out there, but it is close, right? At least by the calendar. But it is when the buds begin to swell and the crocuses break their way from the darkness into open light. The birds have begun to sing and scout for good nesting, for a place to prepare for their birth, their young. Snowflakes have given way to raindrops, or at least are supposed to. The light of day increases, and once again it outnumbers the darkness. There is something about an Easter story. It's one Sunday a year we fill our churches, we dress our children with the finest attire so they can hear it. Yet, let's be honest, we know what's on their mind today. Easter bunnies and chocolate candies and colored eggs, right? It's okay. So I'll just insert this little one-time joke here for you today. I had to have an Easter joke. It wouldn't be Easter without it, right? So there's a man driving his car the Saturday before Easter, and he thought he'd run over the Easter bunny and killed him. And he actually, that's why I let the kids leave, right? And he actually thought there wasn't going to be an Easter because he killed the Easter bunny. Well, a woman drove by and saw him weeping, and while standing over what he believed to have been the Easter bunny, she asked him what was wrong. He said, "I feel terrible. I accidentally ran over and killed the Easter bunny. What should I do?" Well, the woman told the man not to worry. She knew exactly what to do. She went to a car and she pulled out a spray can. She walked over to the limp, dead bunny and sprayed the entire contents of the can onto the little furry animal. And miraculously, the Easter bunny came back to life, jumped up, and hopped down the road. 50 yards away, he turned and he waved. And he hopped down the road another 50 yards and he turned and he waved. Then another 50 yards and he turned and he waved. And the man was astonished and he turned to the woman, "What was in that spray can?" The woman turned the can around so the man could read it. And it said, "Hairspray restores life to dead hair." Okay, one more. "And adds permanent wave." Okay. Yeah. You're not going to remember a word I said, right? Except for that. Okay. So there is something about an Easter story that makes us feel alive. In the church, we change the flowers and the dressings to white. We put away the memories of Dark Friday in exchange for the light of resurrected life. Even though it is a time we are reminded of loved ones who have passed on, the Easter story brings with it still hope and help to rise above our grief. There is something about the Easter story that even in the midst of uncertain times in our world today, we are reminded to still look up and to rely on our faith. There is something about the Easter story that begins to warm even the coldest heart when the shadow of the cross confronts and reminds us of the Father's relentless love for his children. When by the reach of his grace, he sent his only Son to fulfill his promise of love to the world. Fully alive, that is how many saw him. Mary exclaimed to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." The two on the dusty road to Emmaus, sad because their teacher had died, and when they realized that he was now fully alive, proclaimed, "It is true, he has risen." Before the disciples, he appeared in a locked room. "Fully alive, peace be with you," he says. To Thomas, who doubted, he appeared and he showed his nailed, scarred hands as proof. And from the shore, as the disciples were fishing, he again showed them how to have a great catch. And to hundreds more, he appeared so the world would know that he is fully alive. For them, the first Easter became the resurrection story as Jesus made them again feel alive. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Ephesians chapter 2, it is all because of his great love for us. It is God who, rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ. The resurrection is made to be our story as well, and it is by his reach of grace that we too are made alive. When Christ gave up his life one Friday and broke through the hold of death one Sunday, so now the full presence and the power and the riches of God are made known to mankind through the relationship with Jesus Christ. This is how we are fully alive. Fully alive is how the Apostle Paul felt from a prison in Rome as he penned these words that we heard a bit ago. They were written to encourage a church, a young early church in ancient times. And he said, "You are dead because of your sins and because your sinful nature was not yet cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, and he forgave all our sins. So in short, once you were dead, but now you are fully alive." It's a story of one Sunday morning, a pastor was in church, and he noticed a second grader, Alex, standing in the foyer of the church, and he was staring up at a large plaque on the wall, and this plaque was covered with names, and it had two American flags on either side. The boy had been staring at the plaque for some time, and the pastor came up and stood beside him, and he said, "Good morning, Alex." Alex says, "Good morning, Pastor." still focused on the plaque, he says, "Pastor, what is this?" He asked. The pastor said, "Well, son, it's a memorial to all the young men and women who have died in the service." Soberly, they just stood together, staring at the plaque. And finally, Alex's little voice, barely audible and trembling with fear, asked, "Which service, the 8 or the 10:30? So who wants to be in a church of dead people, right? Sometimes the church today resembles a dying faith, one that has lost both its doctrine, what it believes, its spirit that gives it life, and its disciplines by which it grows and is sent out to proclaim Christ alive. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, wrote these words of the church in the 1700s, "I'm not afraid that people called Methodists should ever cease to exist, either in Europe or America, but I am afraid lest they should only exist as a dead sect, having the form of religion without power." The same could be said of many Christians today. You see, the Apostle Paul is encouraging the church to not lose that which it knows and what it learned by the teachings of Jesus over the 3 years that he walked with them. Its witness of his resurrection and the power of God received in Christ through the Holy Spirit. Christ is the church, the gathered body of believers fully alive who are to proclaim to the world the resurrection, that he is risen indeed. Yet we must understand that the church is not where faith often begins, because it begins in the heart of the person transformed by the power of God within. Like Mary Magdalene, 7 demons gone, Jesus made alive in her. When we discover the Easter story, it is in fact to be our story. When by the reach of grace we are made fully alive in Jesus Christ, and then the church becomes the way we learn to live out our resurrected life, growing in faith together, learning to live in his will, and choosing to daily carry our own cross, all to proclaim that Jesus is alive, all so that others may come to know what it is to have new life in Christ. So what does it mean for us to be fully alive in Christ in the way that Paul wrote it? And who would know better than Paul, right? Because the Apostle Paul was once a persecutor of Christians, and now he is one who is proclaiming, had proclaimed the message, and where we get most of our New Testament. So who better to hear from the Apostle who now proclaims Christ alive? So first, let me give you three today to consider. To be fully alive means to respond to God's reach of grace by Christ who dwells in us. In verse 9, he writes, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form. So you also are complete through union, your union with Christ." You see, Paul is pointing to the Trinitarian oneness of God the Father and the Spirit, all brought together in the body. And God, his complete dwelling presence in Jesus, means that through him, he also dwells in us as well. John Wesley, on his deathbed, in his final words, said the best of all, "God is with us." In Christ is the fullness of God. In him we are made complete, lacking in nothing, sustained by the power of the living God. In other words, we don't walk around as those who are dead, those who have no hope, but those who are alive. 1 Thessalonians, he writes as well, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." To respond to God's reach of grace is to live as those who are no longer asleep. We are awakened in the Spirit because of Christ who abides in us, alive because of the hope we have within, and fully alive even beyond when this earthly body gives way. So to be fully alive is to respond to God's reach of grace. Number two, to be fully alive means to receive God's forgiving grace. In verse 11, he writes, "When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. When we come to an understanding that we are sin-filled, but yet we do not accept the parts of us that are sinful, it means dying to our old ways. It means striving to live rightly by seeking first the kingdom of God. This is a removing of that which causes death by replacing it with that which gives us life. I was reminded of Easter lilies, and I wasn't sure what kind of flowers we were going to have today, but you know, an Easter lily, and I remember from my days in horticulture in high school, was their flower, or is actually the center, and the petal is the white, you know, the part that you see mostly. In the flower is the pollen, the little pistil, I think they're called, pistil, yeah. And do you know that if you pull off the yellow pollen as soon as you get them, or as soon as they open, the flower will last longer, or the petals will last longer. And so pull off the yellow, but be careful, because if the pollen gets on the white flower, it will turn brown faster. And so just a tidbit there. And so dying to self, in a sense, is removing what is not good in us, the sinful nature, and to live as Jesus has taught us and modeled for us. Romans says, "For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with, so that we no longer are slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin." The result is a life of abundance, fully alive. Sin no longer has its hold in us. The apostle writes, "You are dead because of your sins, but then God made you alive in Christ." How? He forgave all our sins. By his death, Jesus took the burden of them all upon himself. He canceled the record of the charges against us. He took it away by nailing it to the cross so sin would not have its way with us anymore. So to be fully alive is to receive God's forgiving grace. And thirdly, to be fully alive is to be raised with him into new life. Verse 12 says, "Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through your faith, and the working of God who raised you from the dead." In baptism, we receive the life of God in spirit, present blessing and future hope. Baptism is the first step into initiation into a Christian life and into the church. It is that same power that raised Jesus from the dead that takes us beyond a life that ends in mortal death to a new and blessed life dedicated to loving and serving God. And so in that, we find present blessing, we find future hope, and we find forever to live, and we are fully alive, all by the reach of his grace. So the question is, how does Easter become for us more than bunnies and chocolate, like it was for Mary and the many others who saw Christ alive? When we respond to his reach of grace, when we receive by faith his forgiveness, that he loves us as we are, but loves us too much to keep us the way we are. And when we are raised to him in new life by our baptism, by dying to ourself, and by our living our life as a new person in Christ. That is and can be our resurrection story, our Easter story, when what was once dead in us is now made alive, when hope is no longer on the distant horizon, but something we experience every day and each day. When all signs of new life, signs of new spring, so that we can feel alive again, all because of what Jesus did for us, all a gift from God. In 1989, there was an Armenian earthquake, and it needed only 4 minutes to kill 30,000 people. One father refused to believe his son was dead. He dug into the rubble, refusing to quit, and after 38 hours, he pulled back a boulder and he heard his son's voice. The father called his son's name and the voice answered, "Dad, it's me." And then the boy added with these priceless words, "I told the other kids not to worry, that you would save me. And when you did, they too would be saved. Because you promised." Easter morning is a picture of a father's unwavering and relentless love for his children, giving up his only son to fulfill his promise of love to the world, all by his reach of grace. So can we be fully alive as Jesus was before Mary that spring morning? Well, no, not yet, but there will be a day when we will know in full. But until then, God made us to be alive in Christ, fully alive. My hope is that is your Easter story as well. Let us pray. Holy God, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the opportunity to receive your grace and to know your presence with us. Help us to respond today to your love poured out. Help to move us from where we are to where you would have us to be. We thank you for the love that you have poured out on us in this way. We trust in you fully as our Savior and Lord of our lives. Amen.